Like Gomez, like Gomez. I feel like it's like Gomez. Go through the psukim over here. Well, it's the beginning of Parshas Pesudei. So there's a very long-winded accounting of the materials used in the Beis Hamikdash. Kol Hazov, all the gold that was used. Vayhi Zava Knufa Teisha Ve'eshim Kikar U'Shvamayos U'Shloshim Shekel Shekel Kodesh. That's how much zav, how much gold. The kesef, kudei eda, ma'as kikar, ve'elof u'shva me'yos, v'chamishim v'shim shekel b'shekel ha'kodesh. Then he goes through all the silver, and all of its denominations. And then, pasuk ha'pes, this is after the Mar Makom Hashit, u'nechoshes ha'tenufa shivim kikar v'alpayim v'arba me'a shekel. So, psukim and psukim going through how much gold, silver, and copper was used for the Mishkan. So you take a look at the Sforno, and the Sforno picks up on this apparent long-winded accounting, and I assume, you're welcome to debate this, I assume that the Pshat Nisferno is he had the kasha. Why do you need this long accounting? What's it here for? Do I really need to know how much gold there was, how much silver there was, how much copper there was? You know, if they would tell me that it was made out of gold, silver, and what does it do for me? So I assume that's what is inspiring, provoking the Sforno to talk. So the Sforno begins. But if you do want to debate the point, you're going to have to come up with a different provocation. So the Sforno says, Heyed al kitzvas hazov al kesev and achoshes. The Torah testifies and accounts for the amounts of gold, silver, and copper, shenichnas of the lechus haMishkan that was used in the building of the Mishkan, shayadavar muad, which was really very little, shayadavar muad ma'od be'erech ela osher shayadavais v'vais harishon. It was very little as compared to the wealth that was used, the gold, silver, and copper, by the first place in Mikdash, Kimavur B'Sefer Melachim, Ayin Shem, take a look at Melachim Aleph. The Yosei Menu Ha'osher, Shayiv Minas Hordas, and even more Osher was used in the building of the second bias, in its remodeling by Hordas. As the Gemara says, one of the fellows pointed out, you know, whoever didn't see the bias of Hordas never saw beauty in the world, never saw such a thing. It was amazing, the opulence of the second bias. In Kol Zeh, but with all this, Yoser Hisvid Mare Kavod Hashem and Mishkan Shamosha, Hashem's presence was more omnipresent in the Mishkan of Moshe, Mimasha Hisni the Mitzvah Harishon. The Shechina rested more in the Mishkan that was built by Moshe than there was Shriya Shechina in the Mikdash Rishon, in the first bias. Below Nira Klav Mikdashani. In the second bias, there was no Shechina there at all, in the second bias. And this teaches us, Shelo kitzvah sa'osher, the godel habinyan, that it isn't the amount of wealth and edifice, and huge edifice of the structure, Yusiba Lahashos Ashkina Yisrael, that isn't the cause, the Siba, the inspiration for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to rest his Shekhinah there, but rather, Rotsa Hashem Yireyah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the God-fearing people, Umayseyem, and their deeds, L'shachna V'solcham, in order to rest amongst them. So Umayso, what does this final answer? That it's to teach you that when you see that the apparent lack of wealth that went into the building of the Mishkan as compared to the greater wealth in the first bias and the greater wealth in the second bias, and you see that in terms of Shri Yashchina, there is almost an inverse or converse, I know the difference, inverse or converse relationship, then you learn something very important, that it isn't the wealth that is what inspires HaKadosh Baruch Hu to rest the Shekhinah. That's the Sephardim. So if you're with me, add this Kasha. That is one of the most poshut olive bays I ever heard of. So what's somebody going to think? If you want to know what will bring the Shekhinah, this is what brings the Shekhinah. Let's build a beautiful, with lots of gold and silver, and then a Kodesh Baruch Hu rest the Shekhinah. Or should we have more Yerei Hashem and more Gemilas Chasadim? Which one do you think would have a greater impact on the Ribono Shel Olam resting his Shekhinah on point A or point B? Would you think it's bring in opulence, bring in all the beautiful gold and silver, and that will bring the Shekhinah? Or do you think if you have more Yerei Shemayim and greater Gomel Chesed, that will bring the Shekhinah? Yes, something like that. We're holding already in Pekudei. So we went through all of the Maisa Ovas and everything and the Mishpatim and the Aseret HaDibros, Tzias Mitzrayim. After all is said and done, this is by holding my Pashas Pekudei, this is what we're going to think. We're going to think that a Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm not really sure which one is better. It comes along the Torah to teach you that, you know what's better? If you have more Yerei Shemayim and you have greater Maisa, that's going to bring the Shekhinah. Sounds poshut. So Elamai, L'chori, you see from here that it's not so poshut. I mean, it's poshut intellectually, but emotionally it isn't so poshut. Because in our subconscious, we are human beings, and we are very much drawn to consider the effect that Gashmius has on us. Even though the Chorah is somebody learning what through all of Bereishis Shmos of Vayikra, he learned through everything, and he knows it, and he may have even internalized a lot of it. But somewhere in the subconscious, he still may consider that. Maybe not conscious, but some are not conscious. He's still going to consider that that's going to have some kind of effect. The Torah has to give you another reminder to tell you that, no, that's not what's going to do it. Rotsa Hashem Esireyav, am I saying? That's what makes the difference. I had another kasha. The Torah, if you think people are going to make that mistake. So why don't you say, like, my psukim, and say, in one pasuk, Rotsa Hashem Esireyav, am I saying? Why don't you just say it? I mean, that would seem to be a shortcut. I think it's just something also, like, you know, this is not a deher you can learn until you have the opportunity of time. Let's say somebody is learning the Torah before the first bias. So he's learning the Torah before the first bias, he still doesn't know the lesson. He's only going to figure this out, according to the Sforno, after the second bias. Because he has to already have seen the Mishkan, and then he has to first see the first bias that there was Hashua Shechina less than the first, less than the Mishkan. Then he has to also see the second bias, that there was no Shreya Shechina at all, despite the great wealth and opulence of the second bias. You see that, like, this idea of just sort of discovery has also a tremendous effect. First of all, that we, you know, we could examine it, and the Sforno helped us, but just by examining it, you know, the Torah wrote it, but over the course of history, it's going to become revealed. Some of that was, and that's the intent of the pasuk, according to the Sforno, that the Baruch Shalom put, so to speak, you see a message into the Torah that over the course of history will become revealed. This idea, which is a very unusual, and it seemed to me like an unusual type of thing. Usually, like, you know, the Ralbag, you know, you have all the Tawelas. So you see from here, you know, Tawelas, Bideus, Benidus, it's right here. But here, you know, if we learn, depending on when you're learning this Kude, at which juncture in history, you know, you may not get it. It was like a time capsule, this message, that over the course of time, it becomes revealed. And I'm not a chiddush or anything, I'm just pointing that out, that seems to be the case over here. But the fact that there's just not pashut, that we're drawn to so many things, you know, a person, you know, could be learning for 20 years, 25 years, but still, you don't care about money, but still, you know, deep buried in the subconscious, there's this yearning for an appreciation and distorted view of what money does, of what wealth does. We're gashmius, our group is gashmius, and at least part of us are gashmiastic beings. So we're drawn to it, even to the extent to confuse and think that this gashmius is going to bring us to Hashra Shina, that the Sukkim have to point out, at this point, the Sforno have to point out all of this just so that we should not make a mistake and think that, you know, Ein Kitzvah Sa'osher, the amount of money that you put in is not going to spell a difference. So it's particularly, you know, one Baal Bas told me that if he had to do everything over again, he wouldn't live in a big house. So he told me. Because he felt that no matter how much he tried to be mechanech his children, that still living in this big, you know, opulent house, the words could not counter what that did. That's what he told me once. You know, a certain pashtus, the way you live, pashtus, even if you have the money, but a certain pashtus, you know, helps keep a person grounded to have the right values. Because even though you know, okay, so the house is big, so, you know, he has money, obviously, but it could make a difference. I remember we were Zoch in Yeshiva to have a mamish, the most modest of homes, the dormitory. And at the time we didn't necessarily appreciate it so much. But you're looking back, it had a very big positive impact, you know, to see the way the yeshiva was. I'm sure it's a much bigger nisayon now. The guys in the yeshiva, I don't know what they're considered, I'm sure in Queens, you know, you have a beautiful building, and, you know, you don't have that same, I guess dormitories are all dormitories, part dormitories. It keeps a person, you know, honest. It's a good thing. Because whatever times we have the opportunity to not have any of the gashmias, rather than complain that I don't have this or I have this, I mean, if you could better your situation, it's okay to bring it to someone's attention, but there's a part of you also should say, ah, what a bracha. I at least I could see the poshut, how to live. I remember when I went to Eretz Yisrael, it was one of the 12th grade trips. So we rented they rented a private room. I was so excited. I mean, I have a private room. I went to Eretz Yisrael. coming, I haven't been here at Israel. I was in Israel. I stayed in the yeshiva when I was learning in the yeshiva. And I went with my wife once. We stayed in a hotel. I didn't know what was in between. I stayed in this private, you know, and I got there. I was like 3 in the morning after I dropped everyone off. I go into this, in Sanhedrin Muchevet. I found out it was a converted machzan. It was a room where they keep the suitcases. They turned it into a room. Okay, a room. Fancy room. It was one room. When I say everything was one room, I mean everything. Okay? So there's the bed. Next to the bed was a shower head. Next to the shower head was something else. And I was mamish. I stood there trying to figure out what the havamina is. I remember. And I could have written Adele, but I told Adele, he told me I should come stay where he is. He's in a, you know, more normal situation. But I didn't want to. I remember. I wanted to stay there because I wanted to be able to, you know, I can make it work. I managed to figure it out. You know, I got boots, but to get from the shower to the bed, you gotta have boots. You know, I pushed the bed away so the shower should not make the bed wet. And whoever was there before me must have done it. There was no curtains anywhere. It was one room. So sometimes it's very good. You have an opportunity just to live pashut, just to remember you don't need anything. What do we need to serve the Ribono Shel Olam? You don't need anything. Sometimes you do need things to get by, but on the other hand, sometimes it's good to be able to have that opportunity just to remember that all the gashmias is you don't need it, and it has such a powerful effect on us. Whatever we have could be a negative. You know, it could be a positive or negative. So we have to appreciate that we are gashmiyastika beings, and we could, you know, at times forget the most pashut things and think that, you know, if we have opulence, that's going to bring about the Shvas HaShchina. Thank you.